Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus sends out the 12 prior to his crucifixion, he tells them, "You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bags for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff. For the laborer deserves his food, and whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. And as you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you." Yet when Jesus sends out the apostles on the night when he is betrayed, he gives them different instructions in Luke chapter 22. "When I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandal, did you lack anything?" he asked. And they said, "Nothing." He said to them, "But now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one." Interesting how things change. The death and resurrection of Jesus changes everything, you see. Jesus sends the 12 to go only originally to the lost sheep of Israel because the true shepherd has come and they have wandered from his fold seeking what appears to be lush fields which instead are only filled with thorns and thistles. They must be warned, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This gospel proclamation was never intended to be hoarded, though. It was always intended for all. In fact, look at the strange path that it was to take. He tells the 12, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in the synagogues, and you'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles." So while they're sent to the lost sheep of Israel, they're told, "Well, you'll get to witness to the Gentiles as well, just in their courts and before their rulers." You see, even when sending the 12, the Gentiles are included in the hearing of the gospel. And we are included in the suffering of the Christian. Our suffering is for the benefit of the world. Why would we think otherwise? Salvation is brought to mankind through the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, not by his glory, power, and might as we would look at it. Don't get me wrong, Jesus' glory, power, and might are real. But this side of heaven, the height of the revelation of his love for us, is found in him hanging on the cross with a thorn of crowns upon his head. So we must hear the message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The problem for us today is we don't see the miraculous signs the way our flesh wants. Like with the 12, as Jesus gives them authority to heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse lepers and cast out demons. You see, for Jesus, the healings and the exorcisms were simply signs that bore witness to the coming of the kingdom of heaven. Healing diseases and defeating Satan's servants are signs of Jesus' final defeat of the devil and all the effects of sin. This happens when Jesus dies on the cross and 3 days later rises from the dead. This is, after all, the coming of the kingdom. The mission then of the 12 is the proclaiming of the message, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's merely an extension of Jesus' message to proclaim the gospel to the lost sheep of Israel. And so Jesus is preparing the 12 that they should expect to be received as Jesus himself was received, with rejection and crosses, thus proclaiming work does not end, that this proclaiming work does not end then with their persecution. Rather, this preaching mission was just getting things started. Just consider the life of these apostles. Right? You have Simon, who was called Peter, also known as Cephas. Anybody with three names, or three different kinds of names, might be a little sketchy, right? Three aliases. He was condemned to death and crucified on a cross upside down per his own request, if church history is correct. He said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way our Lord was," so they crucified him upside down. I can't imagine. Crucifixion is death is caused normally by suffocation. If you're upside down and all your blood is rushing to your brain, I can't imagine how horrid that would be. His brother Andrew at Edessa was crucified on a cross the shape of an X. Right? So St. Andrew's symbol is the X. Trust me, it's not a good idea when you see somebody wearing a Malcolm X hat to say, "Great St. Andrew's hat." Got me in trouble in Milwaukee once. You don't want to do that. I was just feeling giddy, so I said it. Oh well. Then there's James, the son of Zebedee. He's beheaded. And John, his brother, the only of the disciples who died of natural causes. However, if church history is correct, it's not for lack of trying. They attempted to boil him in oil, but he survived. He is, after all, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Then Philip, crucified, and Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, crucified. Thomas, killed with a spear, and Matthew, the tax collector, killed with a halberd. James, the son of Alphaeus, killed with a fuller's club. Thaddeus, also known as Judas, not the Iscariot, crucified. Simon the Zealot, crucified. And then Judas Iscariot, who takes his own life as he's overcome by grief and despair for what he had done as he betrayed the Lord himself. This same gospel message is to be proclaimed today, though. And it still comes with Jesus' authority, and it still will be hostily rejected by the world. And so today, even today, especially today, Jesus brings the kingdom of heaven to all the lost sheep of Israel and to all the lost sheep of the Gentiles. Today, with Jesus' authority, the kingdom of heaven is brought through the word of God and the sacraments as Jesus still raises the dead, heals the sick, and casts out demons. You may say, "But I haven't seen it." Then close your eyes and listen with the organ of faith, your ears. Hear the word. It teaches the proper understanding of holy baptism that raises you from the death of sin to life and an everlasting each and every day as we drown the old Adam only to find out that the bugger can hold his breath. Hear the word that teaches you rightly and understand the Lord's Supper, which offers you the very body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And where there is forgiveness of your sins, there is life and salvation. Hear the very word of God as it continues to make the demons flee and bestows the grace of God on all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the gifts that God uses to make us worthy of his peace. Despite the fact that we confess this morning that we are not worthy of his peace resting on us, that it should flee from us and return to his servants, Jesus instead declares all of us, including me, forgiven of our sins. And through his blood-bought gift, he answers our prayers that his kingdom does indeed come. And it comes for all his adopted family. Now, I'm going to say this, and I really hope you'll hear it the right way. Since I've been a pastor, well, you can go back to seminary days, we've been told that there's a horrible shortage of clergy and church workers. A horrible shortage. And people have stood before us and they've wrung their hands and they've come up with plans and schemes and gimmicks. And guess what's happened? We still have a horrible shortage of church workers. Then we've been at conventions where we had a district president, well, a Senate president, excuse me, who stood in front of the entire convention and snapped his fingers. "Every time I snap my fingers, somebody's going to hell because you're not sharing the gospel," he said. I said, "Stop snapping your fingers." He didn't like that. That's not the motivation for spreading the gospel, though. And wringing our hands won't fix a thing. Tell me one thing worrying has ever fixed. One thing. It doesn't. It makes things worse. It leads you to start believing you can solve the problem. So rather than wringing our hands and worrying about the clergy shortage or the number of members or even our finances, listen to Jesus. He instructs his disciples, and that includes us. "The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." That's what we should be doing. Not wringing our hands and not worrying how it can be fixed by us, but coming to the Lord in prayer. Now that doesn't mean we then pray and do nothing, but come to the Lord in prayer. Listen to what His Word has to say. Let it be proclaimed so the Holy Spirit does His job. And the Lord will provide. He will provide. He always does and always has. Even when it comes to problems in your own lives. So go to the Lord in prayer, because that's what puts you in touch with the only one who can solve these things. And then give thanks to God. Give thanks, dear friends in Christ, for we are no longer lost sheep without a shepherd, unworthy and dead in our trespasses and sins. Rather, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. He is our good shepherd. We who were lost but have now been found, we have been granted God-given faith in this good shepherd, our living and life-giving Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And He brings for you and me His kingdom. And it comes in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.